fulfilling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios, your week begins right now. I am Mark Walters, and I am filling your prescription for freedom here in these Crossbreed Holster Armed American Radio studios. What a pleasure it is to have you here with me today. We have for you an explosive lineup. Four of the most powerful men ever in the history of the United States when it comes to your right to keep and bear arms are all on this program today. You will hear from each and every one of them. Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, followed by Dr. John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime, and the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. You can visit them at crimeresearch.org before you hear him. Also, New York Times bestselling author, famed economist, and Fox News contributor he is. Following Dr. John Lott, you will hear from Larry Pratt, the founder and executive director of the Gun Owners of America, America's first no-compromise gun lobby. Followed by Mr. Alan Corwin, the only individual I have ever named a segment after here on this program. And it promises to be a huge one on the heels of what is going on in this country over the past 7 days since you and I last talked and met here on these airwaves together. In the segments following that, you'll hear from my political analyst, Neil McCabe, Armed American Radio's Washington, D.C. editor, and also my firearm expert and analyst George Hill to discuss pretty much everything that you heard up until that point. It promises to be an incredible couple, 3 hours of radio with you together today. So I'm looking forward to it. First, I want to say that our thoughts and prayers are with the Marines, the Navy sailor, the families of the heroes who were murdered, who were killed in a terrorist attack. This was an act of war on U.S. soil. It was hoisted upon us by radical Islam again, and we have a president who fails to acknowledge that fact. It is disgraceful. We will talk to you about a number of different angles as to what is happening in this country today and what we can do to stop it. Let's first go to Mr. Alan Gottlieb, a good friend of mine, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. We've got him for two segments. Alan, welcome to the show. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's always good to be with you.
Thank you. Likewise, I can assure you. Alan, I've got a host of questions for you, and I'm going to start with this. What was the first thing that went through your mind, through Alan Gottlieb's mind, when you heard the news and confirmed the news that there had been an attack on our military in Chattanooga, Tennessee, less than 80 minutes up the road from these Crossbreed Holster studios?
Well, the first thing that went through my mind was the fact that, quote-unquote, it was a gun-free zone. And that always bothers me because every time we see one of these mass-type shootings or somebody going crazy in an area, it's always someplace where people can't defend themselves. And I'm getting sick and tired of that, and it keeps repeating itself every single time.
It never fails. And I not that I was going to anticipate your answer, however, I had a pretty good idea where you were going to go with that. I want to follow it up. Let's drill down just a little bit deeper. Let's go to gun-free military, gun-free zone military. Gun-free and military doesn't even belong in the same sentence. But when you drill down even deeper, what does that mean? I mean, how does that make you feel when our Marines and our sailors, men and women, can't protect themselves where they work?
Well, I guess what it hits me with is I have to think twice before I would recommend to one of my children at this point joining the military. Because when the military doesn't allow you to protect yourself, I have real problems with that. I mean, the whole world right now is upside down.
It's crazy. It really is upside down. Things are just nuts. Let's go back. I want to go back to the gun-free zones with you in just a little bit. I believe we're at a watershed moment with finally coming to grips with the fact that America must eradicate and rid itself entirely of gun-free zones. I want to go back to that with you in a few minutes. But I guess we have to start with this question here. Is America at war?
Well, I'm not sure America's at war, but I think there are people out there at war with America.
It's been brought to our soil. We have four U.S. Marines and one sailor dead on American soil. Does Obama know that they are at war with us?
Well, he never seems to want to admit that. So if he knows it, he sure plays it close to the vest and doesn't tell anybody. And he sure doesn't seem to care about taking precautions to stop it. So if he knows about it, it's totally dereliction of duty. If he doesn't know about it, it's sheer incompetence.
Alan, I'm with you on this. I'm really shocked isn't really the word that I can even use. When you see something like this, this is not the first time this has happened. We've been seeing this in this country. Really, I mean, they've declared war on us since the late 1970s, particularly since 1982, if you want to really get exact about it. Our military has been gun-free, which is just astonishing to me, on our own soil since about 1992. There are tens of thousands of families that live on bases that cannot protect themselves for whatever reason. We have a president who fails to call our enemy what every American already knows it is. He fails to call it. The administration doesn't call it. The press doesn't call it. His press spokesman doesn't call it what it is. They skirt around the issue every time they're asked. Every American knows what it is. How can we fight it when the administration takes the position that they take?
Well, obviously we can't, considering the commander-in-chief it waves a white flag, so to speak. I mean, he does everything he can to bend over backwards to not recognize that radical Islamist terrorists keep attacking America's interests. We know he hates the military to begin with. We know he hates the Second Amendment. You put all that together, and that's a terrible, you know, combustible fuel, so to speak. He can't be out of that White House soon enough to make me happy.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you. Let me go back to the gun-free zone thing for just a minute here. I'm going to pose this question to what amounts to just an A-list lineup, an off-the-hook great lineup on this program today, and I want to hear the responses from you and the other guests on the program today. I'm going to go back to the gun-free zones for just a second. We have, not far from where I sit today, American civilians protecting military personnel in their workplaces. Alan, I'm sure you've seen the stories. And to me, that, I'm not even sure how to describe that. I can't even find the words to describe the fact that we have civilians. And I think it's great that they volunteered their time to man that position and to take on that responsibility. But there's something terribly wrong when we have average Joes protecting our military folks at recruitment centers across the country, or at least here in Georgia. What does that say to you?
Well, first of all, it says to me the federal government's not doing their job. Second of all, it shows the importance of civilian firearms ownership, because when it comes to Homeland Security, we are the first line of defense.
Okay, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. So having said that, let's just go right back into the gun-free zones for just a second. I believe we're at a watershed moment, Alan, I really do. The president could sign an executive order right now, right this moment, to eliminate gun-free zones on federal, military, and other federal property. He could do it across the board at the federal level. He has yet to do it. There are growing calls for that to happen. Do you think, and this is just a crazy question to have to ask, but do you think this president would refuse to sign that order rescinding gun-free zones because of his disdain for civilian firearms ownership and the fact that it would almost look like an act of defeat if he
did? Well, I'll tell you, I bet my gun collection on the fact that he would not sign an executive order eliminating the gun-free zones and military recruiting offices and bases. It's just not going to happen. There's other things he's doing, by the way, by executive orders and under the table, that I want to talk about. That the story alone.
I know where you are with that. We're going to go there. I can promise you that.
But there's no doubt that he will do nothing at all to aid and abet anybody having a firearm to protect themselves anywhere, military personnel or civilian personnel.
Wow. Okay. That that lends itself to a whole array of questions, and we're getting ready to take a break. So I'm going to leave it with that as we go into this break. And I want you to think about what you just heard Alan say, that this president, this current president of the United States of America, he believes will not sign an order to allow our military men and women to protect themselves in their own work facilities, whether it's on base or it's in a strip mall or anywhere else that happens to be federal property. So that would also mean that he will veto any potential pending legislation. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Folks, you know that the United States Concealed Carry Association protects responsible gun owners from jail and bankruptcy if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Well, I want to share an incident that happened to a USCCA member a few weeks ago. The member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted with a baseball bat in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and save his neighbor's life, and was arrested and held on a massive bail bond, even though he never fired a shot. Well, he used his one call to the USCCA. Not only did they post his bail, find him an attorney, and get him home to his family, they had him to work on Monday morning. Now, the USCCA has a free guide that I want to give you today to arm you with 18 things you need to know before leaving your house with a gun. Go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now to get your free copy of this life-saving guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com. Folks, you know that the United States Concealed Carry Association protects responsible gun owners from jail and bankruptcy if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Well, I want to share an incident that happened to a USCCA member a few weeks ago. The member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted with a baseball bat in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and save his neighbor's life, and was arrested and held on a massive bail bond, even though he never fired a shot. Well, he used his one call to the USCCA. Not only did they post his bail, find him an attorney, and get him home to his family, they had him to work on Monday morning. Now, the USCCA has a free guide that I want to give you today to arm you with the 18 things you need to know before leaving your house with a gun. Go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now to get your free copy of this life-saving guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Thank you.
right, a little bit of Earl Scruggs there. Gotta love that stuff. Some of my favorite music in the world is bluegrass music. I'm talking with Alan Gottlieb. Alan is the great founder of the Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. Alan, when we went into the break, I mentioned that I felt we were at a kind of a watershed moment about gun-free zones, and you made it very clear that you don't think that Obama would sign any executive order eliminating a gun-free zone at federal installations or anywhere else. Here's where I'm kind of aligning myself on this. I don't know that he's going to have a choice. And it might be a difficult one for him, and I think I know the tack that they'll take if, in fact, he's forced to sign it. But it would certainly be the beginning of the end of all gun-free zones if he did it, and I think he knows that. But I think he'll use the out, well, we're doing this for our military because they're highly trained, and clearly with the threats that they're under, we have to do this, which would end it at least at military installations and federal levels. But that would begin the vindication process of folks like you and I who have been preaching and trying to end gun-free zones everywhere forever, wouldn't it?
It would, but I still believe he's not going to do that. I don't think we're going to be able to force him to do it. I think he'd veto it first, and you'd have to be lucky enough to get the votes, the percentage votes you need to overturn the veto in Congress. He's not going to give an inch on that. He is that anti-gun. In fact, this week, you know, before I get to this week, we're at a watershed moment. Polling data and focus groups showing this past week since what happened in Chattanooga, the American people at this point have a heavy disdain for these so-called gun-free zones.
Yeah, they've had it.
The public has had it with it, but Obama isn't going to budge. This week, and I have to credit the Los Angeles Times for really breaking the story on this, but this administration is planning on trying to extend gun background checks, so to speak, to Social Security recipients who get disability checks. Sort of like what they did with the Veterans Administration when soldiers came back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and if they had mental depression because of being in the war, all of a sudden they were on the NICS list and couldn't buy a firearm or own a firearm anymore. He's now planning on extending that, putting into the database everybody who's on disability on Social Security who can't manage their own quote unquote financial affairs into the database, prohibiting them from gun ownership. So when the administration went that far to do that, there's no way in the world that he would sign an executive order or legislation getting rid of the so-called gun-free zones. This president is that anti-gun rights.
Yeah, he definitely is that anti-gun rights. I guess from the military, at least from the military standpoint, the gun-free military zones, I'm hopeful, cautiously optimistic. Let me put it that way, and that's probably being a little bit generous, but cautiously optimistic. DeJarlis in Tennessee just is filing a bill Monday to eliminate all of the federal gun-free zones. And with the public behind it in the polling data that you're mentioning, that could be enough of a wave behind it. I'm hopeful that even if he vetoes it, which I believe he would the first go around, that we might have a veto-proof majority in both the House and the Senate. We shall see. But the one thing that it will provide, Alan, is an opportunity to find out where everybody stands on the right to self-defense, not just of our military, but on gun-free zones and American civilians at a time that an enemy has clearly declared war on us on our own soil. This is not going to be the last time it happens. All right, let's go back to the Los Angeles Times piece. Great segue. Glad you brought it up. That's where I wanted to go. Here's why. 4.5 million people, it is estimated, in that LA Times piece will be instantaneously banned from owning a firearm. Instantly. Now, is this something that is being explored? Can you tell us where they are in this process from the most gun-hating commander-in-chief ever?
Well, they've been keeping it very, very quiet. And there's no doubt that they're moving along with it, and they're trying to implement it, you know, by administrative fiat, so to speak. It would take Congress and an act of Congress to basically overturn it. And, of course, one of our problems is going to be in the United States Senate, the filibuster rule, being able to make sure that they don't have, have enough votes to keep the filibuster alive. This is going to be a fight we're going to be seeing, I think, between now and the end of Obama's administration and him trying to disenfranchise 4.5 million gun owners in the United States.
He's going to do more than 4.5 million. I've heard, and I know you have too, I'm not sure of the exact number, but I have heard as high as 15
of these types of potential executive actions from the gun hater, freedom hater in chief between now and the time he exits the People's House. Have you heard anything, rumblings about this? This is just one of what I expect to be many attempts between now and the end
there
of this term.
There are going to be many. This is just one, and this is how creative they are doing this, by taking current laws and adding regulations to them that disenfranchise Americans from gun ownership. And this is what we have to worry about, because it's done quietly. You don't even know it's happening until it's done. You know, veterans in Afghanistan and Iraq didn't know they lost their gun rights when they came home and sought some mental health treatment or some medication from the Veterans Administration to readjust to society. And all of a sudden they find that they've now lost their gun rights, not just for a day, not a week, right, but for their whole life.
Okay, then this begs the following difficult question. It's not an easy question to ask, and certainly not an easy one to answer. And I completely understand if you want to shy away from the answer to this. Has it come to the point, or will a passage of that, or passage, will implementation of that type of administrative action be the point in which we call for some form of civil disobedience at that point? By that I mean ignoring that type of regulation. That's a difficult question to ask and a bold one. But at what point in time do we say enough is enough?
Let me say, first of all, it's going to be very difficult on that type of an administration blockage of gun ownership rights to be able to, quote-unquote, not comply. Because the problem you're going to have is you're automatically put into a government database, and that database is used so that you can't go buy a firearm. So it's a little bit hard to comply with that when they just do it to you and you have no choice. I mean, this is you're looking at the dictator in chief here. So there are ways one can do things where I'm not going to comply and I'm going to be civil disobedient about this regulation. But this is a little difficult, because what you're going to have to find here is that you're going to have to find gun dealers who are going to say, I won't run a background check on you because I know they won't. They put you in this database. You're not going to find that. So that dealer will lose his license, will go to jail, will lose his livelihood. It's not going to happen over this.
More specifically, Alan, I'm asking more about along the lines of guns that they currently have.
Well, I'm sure a lot of these people are not going to comply and not turn their guns in. And of course, one of the good things is the government doesn't even know a lot of these people own firearms, which is a blessing.
Right.
Because of course, what they're trying to do is create that database so they know where every gun is and who every end user is. And that's why they signed on to the so-called Arms Trade Treaty with the United Nations, which wants to track who the end user is, every firearm on the globe, on the planet. So, this is just deplorable. That's why this upcoming election is so important. Because watersheds can go one way or the other real quickly.
Right.
Depending on
who's back
and forth.
Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, thank you, sir. I could stay with you for the full broadcast today. We've got to move along. This is the end of the segment. Thank you so much for everything you do. SAF.org. You have to get involved. You must get involved. John Lott, right after this.
WWTC Minneapolis, St. Paul.
A service of Salem Communications.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off because being a teacher, you don't make a whole lot of money.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360 to talk to a certified counselor.
I had heard about Trinity, so I made the call. They took care of all of my credit cards, and now I am completely debt-free.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, stop late fees, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
My name is Ann, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
That's 1-800-758-5360.
The following is a free offer from Rosetta Stone.
Anyone that I talk to about learning a language, I tell them there's just no other way to do it than Rosetta Stone.
I took Spanish in high school, and it was a miserable failure. 20 years later, I saw the Rosetta Stone program. And it was pretty fun.
You are seeing the language, you are writing the language, you are speaking it.
Real users agree. The Rosetta Stone Language Immersion Technology is the fastest way to learn a language, guaranteed. To prove it, we want you to be a part of our biggest language learning event in history. Because this year, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're giving you an absolutely free demo of our Language Immersion Technology. To participate in this nationwide event, call 1-800-930-9925.
Rosetta Stone is, in my opinion, the ultimate method, the only method there is to learn a language.
For your free demo, call 1-800-930-9925. That's 1-800-930-9925.
Are you stuck in a makeup rut? Not really in love with your current makeup, but not sure what else to try? Then you're in luck, because Bare Minerals is now letting women all across America do an at-home comparison. Call now and we'll send you a full-size risk-free trial of Bare Minerals makeup to compare against whatever makeup you have at home. Plus, we'll send you a free 5-piece makeup set as a gift. To participate, call now. 1-800-956-1043. Hurry, don't miss this. Bare Minerals foundation brings out your natural beauty, giving you a flawless complexion with a no-makeup look and feel. And it's clinically proven to promote clearer, healthier-looking skin. So if you're stuck in a makeup rut, this is your chance to get out. Call now for your risk-free trial, and you'll also get a free 5-piece makeup set, our gift to you. Hurry, don't miss this exclusive radio-only comparison offer. Call now for details. 1-800-956-1043. 1-800-956-1043.
The Johnson family had a savings account until their air conditioner died. The Martins had a vacation fund before their water heater quit. The Baileys have no savings, and their refrigerator just broke. The truth is, it can only take one home system or appliance repair to break your piggy bank. But buying a home warranty from American Home Shield can protect you against unexpected covered costs. For valuable free information, go to AHS.com or call 1-800-936-3026. Why pour money into repairs when American Home Shield will help pay covered repairs for you? Your air conditioner, plumbing, oven, refrigerator, water heater, and more. Service requests are subject to a service fee for each trade call. Some exclusions and limitations apply. The choice is yours. Pay for expensive home system and appliance repairs, or let AHS help pay covered repairs for you. If you want to avoid being hit hard by unexpected breakdowns, go to AHS.com for valuable free information, including terms, rates, and coverage. That's AHS.com or call 1-800-936-3026.
Family.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
Welcome to these Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. It's a pleasure to have you here today with me. A very important program today on the heels of what happened in Chattanooga and an incredible network television-worthy lineup. You just heard from the famed great director, founder, executive director of the Second Amendment Foundation, Mr. Alan Gottlieb, also the founder of Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, a man and an organization who built an organization just under a million, getting close to a million right now, who has won lawsuits that have advanced our right to keep and bear arms like no one else in history. These are very important people. My next guest, you know John Lott as Fox News contributor. You know him as New York Times bestselling author, now in the third edition of More Guns, Less Crime. You know him as famed economist, and you know him as the individual who has testified, I can't even count how many times, in front of Congress about this very topic, the right to keep and bear arms. John Lott, welcome to the program, my friend. There we go. Have we got him, Sean? John?
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. I'm going to ask you, John, some questions. I want to hear your answer, the same as I asked Alan and the same that I will ask Larry Pratt and Alan Corr went on down the line throughout today's program. But I have to hear from you. What was the first thing that you thought when you heard the news coverage and confirmed the coverage that there had been an attack on our military in Chattanooga, just 80 miles up the road from these Crossbreed Holster studios? What was the first thing that went through John Lott's mind?
Well, I mean, it was sadness and anger that this had happened. I mean, and I guess frustration quickly came in there, just in the sense that at least since the late 1990s, I've been arguing about these issues of gun-free zones, and you know, the debates changed back at that time. I don't know of anybody else who was publicly arguing on this point. And now it seems, you listen to a number of the TV shows, it's, at least when it comes to military bases, it's something that people are generally accepting. Many arguments that I hear on the other side are pretty silly arguments that somehow it won't convey the proper impression of friendliness for people who you want to get to join the military. You know, we got almost 13 million concealed carry permit holders. A lot of states, it's very common. And so, you know, people, when they go to restaurants or to movie theaters or walking down the street, it's very likely that somebody has a gun with them. But somehow the notion that somebody would have a gun with them in, you know, in one of these recruiting places would somehow turn them off. I mean, these guys are being recruited to go into the military. So, but, you know, I assume part of it is the people who make these arguments in the military are making arguments that their political bosses want them to make on this score. I mean, the whole reason why we have the changes in the early 90s was because the Bush administration and then the Clinton administration that implemented this wanted to make military facilities operate like businesses. And they had this notion that, well, businesses would never have somebody going around carrying a gun. That's not just the proper atmosphere for a business. And so if we want to be like a business, we have to go and get rid of weapons available there. So, but you know, anyway.
John, it's interesting to me because to hear that argument, I've heard that argument before. It's crazy. I've followed this for a long time. But I've never looked at, me personally, I've never looked at the military and equated it to a private business. The military is in the business of being armed, which is what is so ludicrous about this. And it appears to me, and just I'm looking at it on the surface, and of course you're seeing the same reports that most Americans are on this, but it seems to me that the tide has turned relative to the absurdity of gun-free zones, in particular the military, because it doesn't seem plausible that the term gun-free and military belong in the same sentence. Are you getting that sense? Are you talking to anybody from both parties that's feeling that? And what is your prediction relative to what you think will happen to gun-free zones at the federal level?
Well, I mean, I just listen to the news broadcasts and listen to the people that they have on there. The people that they have who are arguing against it, just as far as I can tell, just make things up. They had somebody on Fox yesterday morning, a woman who was claiming that all the experts, every single one of the experts, agree that guns should be banned on bases and other military facilities. You know, people can make claims like that, and unfortunately the person that she was debating with had no clue about the facts on this. But I think generally most of the people just find it absurd that somehow we trust soldiers to have guns with them when they're overseas. My son, who served in Afghanistan, when he was there, he had to have his firearm with him at all times, when he went to eat, right, when he went to work out, when he went to the restroom, when he went to his room for sleep. He had his firearm with him at all times, and it was loaded. The only place that they weren't allowed to carry their firearms with them was in medical facilities. And so, but somehow we trust these guys to be able to carry all the time when they're in Afghanistan or when they were in Iraq. But when they get back to Fort Hood, which is where my son was stationed, we somehow no longer trust them. My son was there last April when the shooting occurred just a block and a half or so away from where he was at. I mean, he could see people running away and see the commotion. But he was unarmed, as was all the other people that were being shot at there. You know, they have military police, but, you know, Fort Hood is like any other city. You have police driving around. You have MPs driving around in their cars. Nobody expects in Atlanta there, where you are, the police to instantly show up and to be able to stop a mass shooting. And the same thing is true in a large place like Fort Hood. And so the question is, what do you do when somebody does show up? And I know the administration is when they put out the report after the first Fort Hood and the event in the Washington Navy Yard, their report emphasized only mental illness, which is fine. I mean, but we have about half the people who engage in mass public shootings in the world, in the United States, have had mental illness problems as diagnosed by mental health professionals, but not in one case were they deemed to be a danger to themselves or others, I mean, or at least to others. And so, you know, it's hard for them to pick these guys in advance. And so, but the question ultimately in any case is, what do you do if that fails? What do you do if the FBI can't identify all these people who might engage in this type of attack? What do you do if the mental health professionals can't go and identify somebody who might commit this type of crime? And they have no backup plan. And the point is that allowing soldiers, it doesn't have to be all, and it could be something that the military decides, but at least having some soldiers walking around with guns for protection, I think would make a big difference.
Yeah, having a couple of MPs visible, there's been some talk about lately. I also saw just about an hour before this program aired some discussion, I forget who it was, about taking the recruitment centers out of strip malls and civilian areas and so forth and all kinds of other things, which isn't going to change an attack.
That's stupid. I mean, we want to be able to join the military, and we want to make it so that they can go and find these places without a whole bunch of problems. But, you know, the point here is MPs are costly. You want people who are just going to be there anyway being the ones who you may be able to depend on to stop them. Just like we don't want to have police at every possible target.
Exactly.
We just don't have enough money to have police at every possible target. If you have easily identifiable people who have guns, the risk that you take is that the terrorists can either kill them first, wait for them to leave, or pick another target.
And John, hold on to that thought. Let me stop you. Let me stop you right there. It's a perfect time to stop as we head into this break. We'll continue the discussion right after this. I'm talking with John Lott. You can read everything he's got at crimeresearch.org. Back right after this with John Lott.
As people who carry a gun for protection, you and I both know if we're ever forced to pull that trigger, you know your life will change instantly. Liberal prosecutors, bleeding heart juries, they'd love to make examples of people like you and me. And that's why I rely on the legal and financial backup plan with my membership in the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They have a guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense, helping you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy, court, and home with your family if you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. So if you go to defendfamily.com right now, you can download this free concealed carry guide from my friends at the USCCA. Now, the guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life. Simply visit defendfamily.com, download your 100% free guide, defendfamily.com. Again, that's defendfamily.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Beginning this year, Magnum Research Incorporated, a Car Arms-owned company, is proud to bring the Baby Desert Eagle 2 back to the U.S. market. The Baby Desert Eagle 2 offers a double-action, single-action trigger and plenty of firepower. Available in 9mm, 40 SMW, and 45 ACP, several barrel lengths, and either steel or polymer frame. The Baby Desert Eagle 2 is an exceptional handgun value. For more information, visit MagnumResearch.com today. That's MagnumResearch.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6+1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with two magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and lightweight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com.
As Americans, you have the right to bear arms. You also have the right to have and cook great food. Hey, what's up? This is AAR Shanto, and I just launched a great cooking guide. It's called Try This Dish. Why not spice up your dinner? All you got to do is go to irfnews.com. It's chock full of recipes, DIY kitchen tips, everything that's got to do with cooking. That's Try This Dish at irfnews.com. Give it a try today.
For more information and to join the conversation, please visit Armed American Radio on Facebook and armedamericanradio.com. And now, from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, here is Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. We're going right back. I'm talking with Dr. John Lott. John Lott is the author of More Guns, Less Crime, Fox News contributor, and the purveyor of crime Prevention Research Center.org. And I highly recommend you visit that site to hear and see and read all of the details about everything we're discussing with John right now. John, a pleasure to have you here. I think we're in agreement on the fact that gun-free zones are killing zones. Our troops should be armed. It's ludicrous not to have them armed. And I'm glad the discussion is finally being had, because I think the weight of the American people are going to come down on this one. I have no idea how it's going to shake out. Alan Gottlieb feels that Obama will never sign an executive order, and he will veto any attempt to allow firearms on federal property. Do you care to comment on that?
Right. Well, I'm sure he won't sign a separate law like that, and I'm sure it doesn't fit into his beliefs. I mean, as you know, I knew him at Chicago. I knew him well before he got elected to office to begin with. But anyway, right now it seems like part of the problem has been John McCain, who's head of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate. Now, whether he changes or not, I don't know. But otherwise, at least among the Republicans, it's pretty overwhelming in the House. They have very strong support for this. In the Senate, Republicans, they generally have very strong support for it, too. So, Lindsey Graham, who's a close friend of John McCain, has spoken out strongly on this. And so hopefully McCain is serious that he's changing his view on this and will do something. And if he does, then, the president will have a choice between vetoing the defense appropriation bill or not, because there would be that type of language that would take away this complete ban that they currently have.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch unfold, and I really do. I'm not overly confident, but I'm cautiously optimistic, as
but
I told Alan.
Most people. It's absurd.
It is. It's crazy.
I mean, I was just talking to Nikki Gozer a little while ago. I mean, she has been fighting this issue of gun-free zones. She lost her husband to it, and it's something that she has a hard time understanding just in general. But in the case of military soldiers, somehow with them that we're not able to trust them to be able to go and have guns. You know, everything that they object to, we have data on. You know, this concern, people raise safety. Well, look, we have, in the past, they've been allowed to carry on bases in the United States, and in recent years, they've been carrying in Afghanistan, and before that, Iraq. Were there problems? No. So, you know, you can bring up hypothetical things that might possibly go wrong, but we have massive amounts of evidence on this side. And so rather than just speculating and say, well, this might possibly go wrong, make people have to go and provide some evidence on it. And I think when you do that, they're quickly going to have to acknowledge that there are actually no problems. And if the I would love to be able to sit down for 3 minutes with all the people that we have going on these different shows to talk about this, just to say, you know, how to argue this, because I would tell them, look, when they bring up these things, ask them to point to actual problems that have arisen in any of the bases where soldiers are mandated to carry. Because if you're right, we should see mass shootings by soldiers all over the place, but we don't see them. We should see accidents all over the place, but we don't see them. And so, we know the benefits. We know how these killers, time after time, not just on these military bases, but generally pick places where victims aren't able to defend themselves. And why not make it risky for them to go and do these attacks? I think you don't have all the soldiers carrying. I mean, that's a red herring to go and claim that. I think if even just some carry, it'd be nice if some carried concealed or whatever, but if as long as some carried, I think it would make a huge difference.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch, and it's going to be fascinating to see who comes down against this when this debate is brought up in Congress, and it will be, because I understand DeJarlis in Tennessee will be submitting a bill on Monday. So I'm looking forward to having this discussion and watching it unfold. John, let me move quickly now, because our time is so valuable with you, over to the CPRC study. You guys did another one on concealed carry that's out now.
Right. And people can go to our website at crimeresearch.org, and if you scroll down the page, you'll see our most recent study. We just went through, saw the change in permits. There are now well over, I'd say, about 13 million people with concealed carry permits in the United States, and even that's a conservative estimate, because there are 10 states now, either virtually all or entirely, you can go around the state without a permit. Two states, Idaho and Montana, you need to have a permit within city limits. But in Montana, that means 99.4% of the state, you don't need to have a permit.
Right.
And then there are 8 states. I guess some people don't count Mississippi, but Mississippi, you don't need a permit if you're carrying a gun in a purse, if you're carrying it in some type of pouch. As long as you're not carrying it in a pocket, you're basically able to go and carry without a permit. And so, people don't have to get permits in those states. So the number of permits are probably low relative to the number of people who legally carry in those states. And so it's probably much higher than 13 million. But we've had the biggest increase ever this last year in the number of permits in 1 year. It went up by 1.7 million. That's a 15.4% increase in just 1 year. And we have 5 states where over 10% of the population has permits. And as I said, another 10 states where I think it's even higher than that in practice. And so, and what's happened? We've had a continued drop in the murder rate. More importantly, if you look at our study, what you find is that the states that have had the biggest increases in permits have had the biggest relative drops in murder rates, and the newest data continues to show how incredibly law-abiding permit holders are. And so I just think the data is pretty overwhelming there. But what I hope people will do is go to our website at crimeresearch.org. You can click on the button at the top right that talks about CPRC research, and it'll take you to the most recent study, and hopefully people will download it and share it with others.
John, thank you very much. Perfect time to end it. We're getting ready to come to the end of the program for this hour. I want to thank you for all of the work that you do, and I want to send you to crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. Everything you heard John talk about is available on the website. Educate yourself. It's all right there for you. And thank you, John, for the amazing work that you do at crimepreventionresearchcenter.org. It's huge. The volume of information is almost overwhelming, and every bit of it is there for you to read. That was Dr. John Lott. Prior to that, I want to thank Alan Gottlieb for being here. Coming up in the next hour, it continues. The A-List continues with Larry Pratt from the Gun Owners of America, followed by Alan Corwin from GunLaws.com. You will not find a lineup like this on one show anywhere ever. This is Armed American Radio. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. Thank you for joining me for this hour. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. And you're going to start hearing me say this from now on at the close of every show. Never let there be a gun-free zone wherever you are. Never let there be a gun-free zone wherever you are. Armed American Radio continues right after this.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now.